How's your prayer life? If I'm honest, mine could use some work. So let's study the Word together about real intercessory prayer with Dr. Wilton. That's right, real intercessory prayer. That's where we're studying God's Word in the book of Daniel chapter 11 today. And as we dive in together, please know we love to study prayer, study how God teaches us to pray, but we also just love to pray. We would be thrilled to pray for you right now at the other end of 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And we'd stand to connect with you online as well. Keyboard to keyboard at TEWonline.org. That's TEWonline.org or 866-899-9673. Now let's dive into studying God's Word together with Dr. Don Wilton.
Turn with me to the book of Daniel and chapter 11. The book of Daniel and chapter 11. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer together. Our Father, we are so indeed blessed to be here. How wonderful it is to be in the house of God together. And Father, as we study Daniel tonight, we know that we are in a very important chapter. And we know that the subject that we're dealing with tonight runs very deep. And we know that you've told us to be on the watch because antichrists are already in the world. Father, hide this preacher behind the cross tonight and help us all to see the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Whilst you have your finger in Daniel chapter 11, I want you to turn with me to 1 John and chapter 4. Don't lose Daniel chapter 11. But I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. And then we're going to go back to Daniel chapter 11. 1 John chapter 4, we read the following words in verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. I'm going to guarantee you something, my friends, that you can turn on your television set, and at some time during this week, you are going to be observing a false prophet. You might say to me, Pastor, how do you know? Well, the Bible says, test the spirits. It's another whole subject. I'm not going to get into that subject tonight, but it's a very important subject. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God or not. Now, look what happens in verse 2. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Now listen to this. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, future tense, and even now is already in the world. Some people have said that they believe that the Antichrist has already come. The Bible says that the spirit of the Antichrist is already present in the world. I'm not going to get into the business of trying to identify who the Antichrist is. Some people have come up with all kinds of things. There were some who said that Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist. Some who said Benito Mussolini. More recently, I remember back in the 80s and the 70s, some people figured out that it actually was Dr. Henry Kissinger. Somewhere said that probably Bill Clinton is the Antichrist. Or they've spoken about Yasser Arafat, and some people point to the Pope. I've even read sometimes people have suggested it might be Dr. Billy Graham. I think that that's rather a futile exercise if you want to know the truth, because the Bible says to us that the Antichrist in spirit is already present in the world. In other words, the activity of the Antichrist has already been set in motion. And at some time, it is going to be encapsulated into the spirit of a person who will be the Antichrist. Is he in the world? He might well be, but we don't know that. What the Bible does tell us is that we can know what to look for in terms of the identification of the Antichrist, and we can also know what he is going to be associated with. We know, for example, that he's going to be someone who is extremely well known. He's going to have worldwide recognition. He's not going to be a nobody. He's obviously going to be a charismatic leader. He's going to, at the time of the rapture of the church, he is going to be setting up an alliance with the state of Israel. We know that. Daniel tells us about that. So does the book of Revelation. That's not going to affect those of us who are believers, because we're going to have been raptured. We're going to be taken up to meet the Lord in the air, which is called the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be with him forever. And while we are in heaven waiting for the second coming, the Antichrist is going to embark on his seven-year strategy upon this earth. Right now, seeing that the rapture has not yet taken place, we know that he is busy organizing the world to be able to follow his leadership. In a sense, the Antichrist is preparing the soil. He's making way for the world to receive him. He is providing the means by which the world is going to be able to listen to him. One of those ways, I believe, is television. Today, like no other day before, you and I can celebrate and we can express sorrow with people all over the world. We can just do it in a matter of moments. I remember when we were in Israel 2 or 3 years ago, and we were able to, due to Britt Dillard's brilliance, televise back into the service live from Jerusalem. Some of you will remember that. It's just incredible what is happening. The computer age, which is phenomenal. The ability to have access to everybody. Credit cards, the cashless society in which we're living today. The means by which we are accepted or rejected in the world today. The accessibility that the world has to everybody else's business. We talk about the right to privacy, but if you think about it, we have less and less privacy. No matter where you go today, people are able to gain access. And I don't know these things, but I should imagine that the files that are kept on each one of us would be something that would boggle our minds. Here in Daniel chapter 11, and I'm not going to read the entire chapter, although I am going to do what I call a surface exegesis of it in just a moment. We find ourselves at the beginning of the rule of Darius the Mede. I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you that Daniel chapter 10, Daniel chapter 11, and Daniel chapter 12 are all one vision. Daniel has had four visions. This is the fourth vision of Daniel, and perhaps the most significant one. Daniel chapter 10 introduces the vision. Daniel chapter 11 is the substance of the vision. And Daniel chapter 12 is an explanation of that vision. Daniel chapter 11 is very, very important. You must remember that because of the interception and the intercessory prayer of Daniel, that some of the Jews who were in exile have now been allowed to go back to the Jewish state of Palestine. There are two great prophecies in the Old Testament. The first is the prophecy concerning Jesus coming in order to redeem the world. The second great prophecy in the Old Testament is Jesus coming to reign over the world.
Oh, forgive the interruption. What a powerful point, that concept of the second coming. Dr. Don will complete that concept and dive right back in just a moment. So please don't go away. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you that as we think about these concepts, sometimes our heart is stirred. It could be that maybe in this moment you're thinking about the second coming of Jesus and you're wondering, are you ready? Well, I pray that you would understand you can be ready, knowing that you belong to Jesus Christ. Takes all of the fear of end times and the end of the world away from our spirit and allows us just to live as best we can every single day for Jesus. If you'd like to talk with someone, have some of us pray with you about that particular concept, know that we're here for you for anything you'd like to pray about. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. Or if you'd prefer to go keyboard to keyboard, meet us online. TEWonline.org is our website. That's TEWonline.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
So all prophecy in the Old Testament can be really summarized in two major arenas. If someone said to you, what is prophecy in the Old Testament about? First of all, it's about the coming of Jesus in order to redeem the world. That is the cross of Christ. That's the first major prophecy in the Old Testament. The second major prophecy is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to reign over the world. That is when Jesus will come the second time. He's going to land on the Mount of Olives, called his second coming. Why is it his second coming? Because he's actually going to land on the Mount of Olives the same way as he did in the book of Acts, when he was taken up into heaven from the Mount of Olives. The second coming is the second major Old Testament prophecy in the Old Testament. And when he comes the second time, he's coming not to redeem the world, because he has already redeemed the world at Calvary. He's coming to reign over the world. He's going to set up the new heaven and the new earth. The battle of Armageddon is going to take place. We're going to see that in Daniel chapter 11. Now, the New Testament has two major prophecies. The first in the New Testament is the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second major prophecy in the New Testament is the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, listen carefully. In order to understand our Bible, the Old Testament has two prophecies: the coming of Jesus to redeem the world, followed by the coming of Jesus to reign over the world. The New Testament, starting in Matthew, deals with two major prophecies. The first one is his appearing, which is the rapture of the church. The appearing of Jesus Christ is when all believers, according to Thessalonians, are going to be caught up to meet Jesus Christ in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The second major prophecy in the New Testament is the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is his second coming, which is tied, of course, into the reign of Jesus, which is the prophecy of the Old Testament. The appearing of Jesus Christ in 1 Thessalonians is Jesus Christ coming for his church. The advent of the Lord Jesus Christ is Jesus coming with his church. Are you all with me tonight? All right. The appearing of Jesus is Jesus coming for his church. That's the rapture. The advent of Jesus Christ, where are we going to be, all of those of us who love the Lord? We're going to be with him in heaven. So the advent, or the second coming of Jesus Christ, is not Jesus coming for his church, it's Jesus coming with his church. We're going to be there. And I tell you, it's going to be the most glorious visitation we've ever had. You know why? Because we're going to be coming with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to march through the golden gate. And we're going to participate as observers, I believe, at the Battle of Armageddon. We're going to be there when Jesus Christ sets up his 1,000-year reign. We're going to be there when the great white throne judgment takes place. You say, well, Pastor, what about our judgment? Our judgment is going to take place at the rapture of the church. That is the judgment seat of God, when we are going to be judged according to our works, not according to our salvation. The great white throne judgment is going to be the judgment according to those who have said no to Jesus Christ. We're going to be witnessing that. That's the time at which people are going to be cast from the presence of the Lord. It's going to be a very sad and tragic time. And then Jesus Christ is going to set up the new heaven and the new earth, and so shall we forever reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 11 of the book of Daniel covers approximately 400 years. 400 years from the time of Darius the Mede all the way through to the end of the book of Malachi. In other words, to the beginning of the book of Matthew. In other words, to the beginning of the new covenant. In other words, to the time when Jesus Christ came and was born in Bethlehem's manger. And it's a very interesting time because Daniel is primarily concerned about the people of Israel, God's chosen people. He's got a preoccupation, if you please, with God's people, Israel. And what God is going to do with us here, God is going to take us from the time of Darius the Mede, and we're going to move all the way to the end of the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes. And Antiochus Epiphanes was one of the four generals of Alexander the Great, you may remember. And Antiochus Epiphanes became the symbol of the expression of the work and activity of the Antichrist. God gave us Antiochus Epiphanes in order to show to us what the Antichrist was going to do and what he was going to look like and what he was going to be about. And we studied that back in Daniel chapter 8. Now remember that God here is giving to us a prophecy which talks about the future, which is given to us literally hundreds of years before these things even take place. It's incredible. I'm going to show you some interesting things here tonight. I want you to turn with me then. I know you're already there in Daniel chapter 11. And I'm just going to take you for a little walk through this, and then we'll come back and discuss some things as we close out. In the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him. In the first couple of verses, we've got God's prophecy concerning Persia. You remember the Medes and the Persians? But if you go back into Daniel chapter 7, you'll remember when we got up to verse 2, spoke about the second beast, the one that looked like a bear, and you remember that it was raised up on one of its sides. Why was it raised up on one of its sides? Because the Persians overcame the Medes. And it's become known throughout history as the Persian Empire, even to this day. Why is Darius protected here in verse 1? Because Darius was the one who signed the edict that gave the captive Israelites their freedom to go back to Israel. God liked that. Darius found favor in God's sight. And so what happens here, we move into verses 3 and 4. Now I'll tell you the truth, three more kings will appear in Persia, and then a fourth who will be far richer than all the others. And when he has gained power by his wealth, he will stir up everyone against the kingdom of Greece. The Bible here is moving into the prophecy concerning Greece. We've studied this back in Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 8. And you'll remember that in Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 8, that Alexander the Great rose up. He conquered the Persian Empire. He lived only until he was 32 years of age, about the same age of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died a horrible death. But we do know that Alexander the Great left behind many, not one, but many heirs to his kingdom. Historians tell us that Alexander the Great had many, many children, and that these children were supposed to grow up. Now remember, he was only 32 when he died. So when he died, all his heirs were how old, do you think? They were all little people. most of them. And so Alexander the Great handed over his rule to his four generals, we know that, one of whom was Antiochus Epiphanes. And do you know that God spoke, and we're going to read about this in these words. Listen, let me read it for you. Watch what happens here, verse 3. Then a mighty king will appear who will rule with great power and do as he pleases. After he has appeared, his empire will be broken up. Alexander the Great will be parceled out towards the four winds of heaven. It will not go to his descendants, nor will it have the power he exercised. Empire will be uprooted and will be given to others. Well, what happened to Alexander the Great? Alexander the Great died at the age of 32, had many heirs. Do you know that within 15 years of the death of Alexander the Great, every single one of his family members had been put to death? These four generals, amongst whom was Antiochus Epiphanes, they didn't want any kind of rivalry. Some people tell us that the Romans were cruel, and other people tell us that Caesar Augustus and all the generals that came out of the Roman era were cruel. But I want to tell you something. These Greek rulers, they had no tolerance for anybody who would threaten their power, and so they simply put Alexander the Great's family and all the heirs to the throne. They just put them to death. Why did they do it? Because God said it was going to happen. Remember, Daniel is essentially about the sovereignty of God. God is in control. We march down according to God's drumbeat, not according to our own. The world is doing exactly what God has decided the world will do. And so from verse 5 all the way down to verse 29, we find the detailed prophecy of two areas. Two things happen. First of all, we discover that in the days beyond Alexander the Great, two major regions of problems occur in the world. The one is called the southern region, which is the Egyptians and that area of the world. The other is the northern region, which is called the north, which is Syria and the Russians. Now, this is very important to note this, because when Armageddon occurs, the Bible tells us that there are going to be hordes of people that are going to come down from the north and are going to march with the Antichrist against God's people. From verse 5 in Daniel chapter 11 all the way through to verse 21, there are some interesting developments that are very detailed. Now, I'm going to say this one thing to you. Every single prophecy concerning Egypt in the south and Syria in the north has been completely fulfilled according to what God is telling us here in Daniel chapter 11. Every one of those things have been fulfilled. Talking about the family lines, we're talking about the fortresses of the north, the armies of the south. We're talking about seizing their gods. We're talking about religious and political ascendancy from metal images and valuable articles of silver which are carried down into Egypt. We're going to see the rise and the political ascendancies of the kings of the north and the kings of the south who do battle against one another. And right in the middle of all of this is Antiochus Epiphanes. And Antiochus Epiphanes was a master maneuver. He managed to wheedle his way into power in such a manner that when we find ourselves in verse 21, which is where I want to pick up, we read about Antiochus Epiphanes, and this is what we read. He will be succeeded by a contemptible person who has not been given the honor of royalty. He will invade the kingdom when its people feel secure, and he will seize it through intrigue. Then an overwhelming army will be swept away before him. Both it and a prince of the covenant will be destroyed. After coming to an agreement with him, he will act deceitfully and with only a few people, he will rise to power. This is exactly what Antiochus Epiphanes did.
Oh, please forgive the interrupt. There is so much more to dig out of the book of Daniel, and we'll do that tomorrow. As a matter of fact, tomorrow we'll finish this 3 or 4 part series on real intercessory prayer with Dr. Wilton. If you've missed some of these pieces, remember you can listen to them all online at our website, tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or if you'd like to order a copy, call us, 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. But before we get away, perhaps the most important words from our pastor are next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you, and I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey.
Now, if the Lord's spoken to you in these moments, won't you call and let us put some resources in your hands to help you grow? 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. And before we get away, we have an exciting opportunity to connect you with another powerful message of Dr. Don Wilton.
What happens the moment you die? Where do you go? Will we see our loved ones in heaven? Dr. Don Wilton looks at these questions and more in The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death, a modern retelling of the biblical story of the rich man and Lazarus. This compelling story chronicles the choices and fate of two very different but ordinary men, one very rich, one very poor, and what happened when they both died. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request your copy of The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death book today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry, supporting God's truth around the world. Thank you for your support.
I would like to take this time to testify what the daily Encouraging Word devotional has meant to my spiritual life. Out of all the devotionals I ever encountered, this one has to be the most inspirational to speak the revelation knowledge in my life. It has blessed and allowed me to seek God's purpose for my life. It seems to always speak to my situation at just the right time.
That number once more is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org.